The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Martin Luther was dead. That was the word that circulated around Wittenberg in the days immediately following February 18, 1546. Martin Luther was dead. Can you imagine how they felt, the people of Wittenberg, especially Luther's students and colleagues? The man whom they had depended upon so long for leadership and wisdom, for guidance and strength, was gone. What Rome had longed for but could never do, death had done in an instant. Now his voice was silent. His pen was still. This giant personality who had taught, rather inspired, moved and molded an entire generation of theologians, one whose every word was so important that scribes took down what he said at mealtimes, one whom contemporaries identified with a prophet to the last days, with the angel of revelation who comes down from heaven with the everlasting gospel, this one, this extraordinary agent, instrument of the Almighty, was dead. So how do you think they felt in Wittenberg in February of 1546? Sad? Of course. Luther was not some rarefied intellect too much above it all to identify with the ways of ordinary people. No. In his sermons, his letters, his table talk, we meet an authentic person. One who knows what it means to be human. His humor, his failings, his feelings, even his weaknesses, all reveal a man of the people, in spite of, in the midst of, the great things that God was doing through him. So, of course, they wept at the news. Their teacher, their colleague, their friend was dead. But there was more to it than that, to be sure. There was also uncertainty. There was also fear. What would happen next, especially to the reform movement that Luther led? Already there were storm clouds on the horizon. The Pope had just recently summoned a church council, ostensibly to respond to the concerns that the reformers raised, and that would undoubtedly embolden the emperor to demand religious conformity from his Lutheran subjects. Lutherans, now weakened by the disgrace of their political leader, Philip of Hesse, the soon-to-be-revealed treachery of Moritz of Saxony. Yes, the foe was gathering. War was in the offing. Who knew where it would lead? And now Martin Luther was dead. As is well known, whatever fears the people may have felt upon hearing the news about Luther's death were more than realized in the months and the years following. The war, the interims, the controversies all threatened the very existence of the church that bore Luther's name. His death ushered in a terrible period of uncertainty and strife. The loss of Luther was almost fatal to the Lutheran Church. But God sustained his people, as he always does. And if Luther has taught us anything, it is that God is there when all else fails, in the midst of weakness, corruption, sinfulness, and especially death. God is still there. Now, the death of a leader, indeed of anyone who is close to us, has a way of forcing Christians back to the basics of the faith. Other times, as we amble through life, it's easy to succumb to the temptation that we're really in charge, responsible, capable of charting our destiny, of doing it all, of making plans and carrying them out, of marking milestones, of overcoming obstacles, of achieving success. Students, professors, pastors, well, we all do it. We delude ourselves into thinking that this life really belongs to us, and so we fall into theologies of glory without even noticing it. But what did Jesus tell his disciples? I am the vine, and you are the branches. Without me, you can do nothing. Our sufficiency is not of ourselves, individually, jointly, but our sufficiency is of Christ. And nothing, nothing teaches us this lesson any better than death. Now, there aren't very many Martin Luthers among us, but the loss of anyone who is close to us, a parent, a spouse, a friend, a leader, forces us to face the folly of human self-sufficiency. We are not in charge. No matter how much we want it, no matter how hard we try, no matter how much we weep and carry on, we cannot thwart the march of death. We plan this, but death says that. We expect life to go this way, but death says it stops here. So no wonder we weep when death strikes, and not only for the one who is gone, but also for ourselves, who must inevitably go into that reality of death. And besides sadness, there is also the fear. And as the example of Luther's death illustrates, fears in the face of death, or at other times too, are not always unwarranted. At best, the future is unknowable, a great void into which time is constantly hurling us. And at worst, the future is filled with disasters, indescribable, calamities, unimaginable. And the road through life, well, it's littered with temptations and folly and failures and tragedy. Looking at it objectively, who would not be afraid of the future? Now, it's probably not in our interest as we live day to day to dwell too much on what may or may not be coming, but death forces us to face this reality, the reality of the human situation. We don't know, and we surely can't control the future, but of one thing, we are sure that at some point we will die. And that's reason enough for fear. So fear and sadness, that's what we experience in the face of death, and that's what they undoubtedly experienced in Wittenberg in February of 1546. During his own lifetime, Luther himself had more than once gotten a whiff of the same reality. He experienced bereavement. He knew fear, but the Lord had taught him through hard blows the madness of looking anywhere at any time for help except in our Lord Jesus Christ, in whom, of course, everything turns around. For in Jesus there is life and security. In Jesus there is strength and help in time and for eternity. Confronting the folly and the frailty of the human situation is the necessary precondition for salvation, and nothing provokes that confrontation any better than death. But death only poses the problem. For the solution, we need something outside of and beyond ourselves. We need Christ, the very Savior whom Luther discovered in the Scriptures and whom he held forth so vividly and powerfully in his ministry. Do Do not flutter around with your thoughts, says Luther. Do not climb up to God by another way than through Jesus Christ. For Christ is the bridge and the way. You should say, I will teach no Christian anything higher and further than the Lord Christ born of Mary. Christ is the way. Luther knew it. Luther preached it. And the power of Christ in him changed him into a mighty instrument of salvation for others, including us. Down through the centuries of time, Martin Luther's example, Martin Luther's words, continue to testify to the power of Christ on behalf of sinners and in the lives of sinners, of Christ forgiving and interceding, of Christ empowering and transforming. As he himself has promised, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. What is impossible apart from Christ is inevitable in Christ. Joy, not sadness. Certainty, not fear. Life, not death. Sure, Martin Luther was dead in 1546. That's what they said then. That's what we say now. But with Luther and with all the saints, we also confess that death has been swallowed up in victory by our Lord Jesus Christ. And that means that whatever we fear and dread, that means that whatever we face in our sins and our frailties must yield to him who is our God and Savior. We know, like Luther, that we will surely die, just as Luther did. But we also believe, we also confess with Luther, that we are alive now in Christ and will live forever in him. Oh, sure, our hearts may sometimes break and fears assail us, but we have confidence, we have eternal confidence in Jesus Christ, who is our life. Amen. Now the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep our hearts and our minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.